Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. Today we'll be speaking with Steve Zeltzer. Steve Zeltzer is a labor organizer and political activist in San Francisco in the Bay Area, and he also has a show on KPFA, which is the Bay Area's Pacifica station, called Work Week Radio. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Steve Zeltzer. Steve Zeltzer, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you.
Can you tell my listeners a little bit about your background and what you're doing right now and things that will be relevant to this interview?
Okay, well, I've been active in the labor movement for decades and have been involved in union organizing and also to develop a labor party and also to develop labor media, to develop an international labor channel. And I do a labor show on KPFA Pacific called Work Week Radio.
Right. Also, you were a member of Labor for Cindy when I ran for Congress there in San Francisco in 2008.
That's right.
And despite, you know, being working class myself, being, what I consider one of the people, and, you know, Pelosi actually is not, she's one of the 1%, maybe even, you know, higher than that in her wealth and whatever you want to call it. Anyway, we had Labor for Cindy, the committee, developed an amazing labor platform. We got solidarity messages about that platform from all over the world, actually, but we couldn't get one endorsement from labor in San Francisco. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Well, the unions in this country, particularly since the witch hunts in the 50s, 40s and 50s, basically support the Democratic Party. And they support capitalist parties and unions, and they believe in capitalism, union leadership, and aren't for a workers' government or workers' party in this country. And they don't really want debates in the labor movement about a labor party even. So your candidacy was a campaign against Pelosi, who was a leader of the Democratic Party, and embarrassed these officials who were supporting Pelosi. So they prevented even having a debate at the Labor Council between you and Nancy Pelosi. So I think that this relationship between the Democratic Party and the unions is basically destroying labor, because the Democrats are controlled by corporations, banks, the billionaires. They're a pro-war party, and these union officials don't want to fight politically. And even on the issue of privatization, the Democrats are supporting privatization, deregulation, and the unions. There's no national campaign, for example, in the United States against privatization of education through charters and privatization of public services.
Well, we had quite a raucous meeting with the San Francisco Labor Council when some of our some of Labor for Cindy went and wanted to demand that the Labor Council sponsor a debate, like you said, between Pelosi and I. And the response was, well, they knew that Pelosi wouldn't show up, and they didn't want to have her embarrassed that way.
Yeah, Mike Casey, who was the president of the Labor Council and head of the Hotel and Restaurant Workers Local 2, said that she was too busy raising money to debate. But, you know, these politicians, particularly Pelosi, have contempt for the unions and working people. She hasn't had any town hall meetings in San Francisco, and she doesn't want a debate. And the union officials don't want her to really have a debate where people see that there's a choice. And I think that's the case when Nader ran. They wouldn't allow him to be in the debates. And it's the case now in the AFT where Randy Weingarten, who's the president, who's taken money from the Gates Foundation, these other privatizers, is friends with Clinton, is supporting a candidate who was on the board of Walmart and the Children's Defense Campaign at the same time. Her husband was involved in supporting No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top, all these union busting attacks and privatization attacks on public education, and that's who Randy Weingarten is supporting, against the opposition of thousands of teachers of AFT members around the country.
And AFT is American Federation of Teachers. Randy Weingarten, is that right?
Garden, yeah.
Yeah,
Garden.
She's a president, and like you said, they've already come out, you know, almost a year and a half early when they haven't even had Democratic primaries yet, you know, declaring Clinton the candidate. They've already endorsed her, and I know that I'm not in favor of endorsing Sanders either, but there's many people, and like you said, in their federation that just vehemently oppose that endorsement.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
So you mentioned a campaign against privatization of education. There's not one nationally, but there actually is one in California. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I'm working on an initiative to repeal the charters laws in California. And there's a high petition campaign to support a ballot initiative, which would require 370,000 signatures to eliminate public funding for charters. And we think that basically it's a cancer, these charters. They actually were brought in by, the first charters were brought in by the AFT Foundation, the Shanker Foundation. And Albert Shanker was a rabid anti-communist, basically CIA supporter around the world. He was a leader of the AFT, and he set up a foundation, and he was in favor of charters. So the charters started there. And it's been used by the privatizers as a vehicle to put more money into private hands and to loot public education. And there are thousands of charters now in the United States, and these private rerun charter schools have private boards. There's no transparency. There's no accountability. And there's no real national campaign by the AFT and the NEA and the SEIU against charters, saying that we don't want charters. We don't want public money going to privately run schools.
Well,
the position of the AFT and NEA is we need to have better charters. You know, we need to make them better, and we need to make Common Core better. So they're actually getting money from the Gates Foundation and the Broad Foundation to make Common Core, which was set up to commodify education by testing, and Pearson and these other companies make billions from this. They want to make it. They want to support it. So they're ideologically and politically helping the union busters in the United States.
How are you getting any traction, especially?
Yeah, well, over 400 people have signed the petition to repeal the charters, and also Palomar Teachers Union has endorsed it. And we're asking people who support public education to say we need to repeal charters. We need to repeal all public funding for charters. And we don't believe that you can reform something that's basically reactionary. It's resegregating education. It's there's more segregation now in the schools and urban centers than there was before charters. And it's reactionary, it's racist, and in fact, in Ferguson, they privatized the schools, restructured them, and they destroyed public education for black and Latino people. So it's a racist, reactionary thing. And it's supported by Obama and Arne Duncan, the chairman of the Department of Labor and Secretary of the Department of Labor. And these Democrats who the union support are attacking public education. In California, Jerry Brown, who they supported, just appointed a Gulen supporter to the Board of Education. So these Democratic politicians who our unions are giving money to are then using their control and power to bust the unions through privatization.
Have you had any response from the California Teachers Association about this?
Well, not so far. I think they're hoping that it disappears.
Uh-huh.
Because if it does get on the ballot, they'll be in the embarrassing position of where they stand on it. And their position is that they think we need better charters. We need charters that do the right thing. It's like banks that do the right thing. Good banks, not bad banks.
What about fully funding public education? I mean, geez.
Well, the other thing about the Democrats and what's going on in the unions is Clinton is a complete warmonger. She's a war criminal.
Right.
She supported bombing of people all over the world. She belongs in prison.
Right.
And these unions, the AFL-CIO and the AFT and these unions, they don't mention wars. They don't mention imperialism. That's because they support capitalism. They support imperialist wars. And that's where trillions of dollars are going. Isn't it amazing that they have $500 million to go to the Ukraine, billions to go around the world? That's voted on by the Democrats and Republicans, and there's not a peep. But then when it comes to money for education or housing or something like that, oh, they don't have any money.
I ran into...
Well, these union leaders don't even challenge that.
Right. I ran into the California Teachers Association president a few years ago. I don't even remember what her name is, but we were at the Capitol. We were demanding that, that Jerry Brown's and the use of California National Guard in in the foreign wars, we were demanding that he quit sending billions of dollars every year. Every year, something like $30 billion from California goes to the federal government for these imperialist wars, as you said. And we were saying that if we could keep $30 billion here in California, just imagine what we can do with it. Preschool through university, free education that's accessible for everybody, and that's good education like we had, a few decades ago. And this teacher, they were there supporting a bill to raise taxes so a little bit more money can go for public education.
Well, the Democrats have been in charge in California for a long time now. And when they had a two-thirds control of the legislature, they could have passed a bill, for example, a depletion oil tax in California, which would have taxed oil companies to pay for education, to make education free. It is quite possible to make education free in California. But these Democrats don't want to fight the oil companies. They're controlled by the oil companies. You have over 100 billionaires in California.
Uh-huh.
Over 100 billionaires. And none of these Democrats are saying we're going to have free public education. The billionaires are going to pay for it because they get money from the billionaires. So these people are total hypocrites, and the union officials go along with it. In fact, the president of the Josh Prochalt, president of the California Federation of Teachers, was helping Feinstein. There was a motion not to support Feinstein at the last CF, California Federation of Teachers convention, and he ran up to the stage to prevent a vote on it. And so these officials are basically doing damage control for the union busters and the warmongers. And Randy Weingarten actually went to the Ukraine to support this right-wing reactionary Ukrainian government.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they support privatization. That's what they're doing around the world.
Right.
They work with the CIA. They work with the U.S. government internationally. They supported privatization in Russia. The AFT, and then they tell teachers here that they support them. Actually, they're colluding with the union busters and the managers. That's who they are. And she worked at a Green Dot school. She was on a Green Dot board. So she's basically got dirty hands. She's corrupt. She takes money from these private foundations funded by Gates and Broad. And then she says she represents teachers. The teachers need to really remove her from office because she's basically a labor traitor.
Well, Steve, if they remove her from office, won't they just get another?
Well, there has to be a movement among all teachers. Most teachers in the AFT and NEA are unaware of the role of their union leadership in colluding with the bosses. In fact, there's a program in California called PAR, Peer Assistance Review. And it was set up supposedly to help teachers who had problems. and in the schools. Mm-hmm. And what's happened, the bosses have used it to pay, in many cases, union presidents extra money to help get rid of senior teachers and also to get rid of black and Latino teachers. And in San Francisco and in Berkeley, the president of the unions were on this PAR commission. So here they're getting money from the district to help fire teachers, and they're presidents of the union. So they've integrated the unions and these leaders and these union officials support Randy Weingarten into getting rid of teachers, attacking senior teachers, attacking black and Latino teachers. That is what's going on.
What would a Labor Party look like in the United States? How would it be?
Well, it has to be a rank and file movement. I mean, we need a workers' party that is going to be for the working class against the interests of capitalism. We need nationalization of the banks. We need free housing, free health care. We need, basically, the worker should be running the utilities, the worker should be running the energy industry,
right,
not only to run it better, but because they're destroying the world. These utilities are keeping the nuclear plants open, and the energy companies are just pumping more oil, destroying the environment. So it's a matter of survival for the working people and the public to take it out of their hands. They're wild. So those are the kind of programs we need programmatically. But, you know, even Bernie Sanders, who calls himself a democratic socialist,
right,
has nothing to do with socialism.
Right.
Absolutely nothing. In fact, he says he wants to break up the bank to make them smaller. That's not socialism.
Right.
I don't want smaller banks. I don't want private capitalists to be running our banking system. He also supports military budgets. He supports Israel. And he voted for the U.S. Freedom Act that continues the spying by the NSA. Basically, he's a foil for Hillary, and he'll be supporting her if he does not win.
Well, he already said he would.
Yeah. Well, he's supported. So one of the things about not only her but also Nader, and as we need a political party, you need an independent working class political party. This or that politician cannot solve the problem.
Right.
We need a working class movement in this country that can challenge the system. And Bernie Sanders doesn't want to talk about it's a system problem. Even people who mobilize around Bernie Sanders in the unions, in my union, for example, the former president, Larry Cohen, is supporting Bernie Sanders and going around with him. But there's, and our union may endorse him, I don't know, but there's no discussion among the rank and file. There's no forums. There's no democratic process where the rank and file members can have a discussion about what we need to do politically. That's off the table. And that's the case in the AFT as well. They made a decision at the top without even consulting their union leaders in many cases in Washington, D.C. and San Francisco. They just did it. But these leaders, so-called leaders of our unions, have contempt for the rank and file. They're business unions, most of them.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is it's a business operation. Dues collection agency, and that's the ideology, and that's why they're losing people. In fact, there's a court case, that will take away agency shop for the unions. And one of the reasons that court case happened, there was a case called the Knox case, is that the SEIU 1000 in California, some workers said, we want our money back. It's being used for political purposes, and they have a right to do that. The union leadership refused to give it back to them. And then when the court said you have to give it back to them, these workers said, "Well, we want to pursue the court decision. We don't want they tried to make a deal, but that by that time it was too late." And the Right to Work Foundation, which is supported by the corporations, were helping these people. But these union officials are, in the case of SEI 1000, totally autocratic, bureaucratic, and there's no checks and balances. There's no transparency, in even the unions. In my union, as a matter of fact, I just went to the convention, national convention, in Detroit, and they don't even give a report, a financial report, with all their expenses of where all the money's going in my union. My union has 700,000 members, over 700,000 members. They give money to Jobs with Justice, that's supported by the CWA. They don't even provide a financial report to the delegates at the convention about where all the money's going. And yet, they give a financial report to the government because they're required to, of where they have to, where they're spending their money.
What union
but they won't
do
give
you
it to their
belong
members?
To? What union do you belong to?
CWA, Communication Workers of America.
Okay, that's right. So,
but, you know, I mean, the fact that, that these unions, and that my union is not the exception, will give provide information to the government, because they're required to under the law, about where they're spending their money, but won't even give it to the delegates of the union, make it difficult to find out, you know, where the money is going, tells you all you need to know.
Well, speaking of Detroit, one of the things that Democrat supporters want to, you know, say about Obama, one of his victories, is saving the auto industry. Now, I want to say, I rode my bike through Detroit 2 years ago, and nothing about that city looks like it's saved. And as a matter of fact, it was another way to bust the auto workers union. But people are saying, oh, he's so great. He saved the auto industry in the United States.
Well, the capitalists wanted to keep the auto industry going. And if it had gone bankrupt, it would have been devastating. It would have weakened the United States as an industrial power. But what's happening in capitalism is they are outsourcing a large amount of industrial production to other countries, China and other countries, because they make more profits there. But what they did was, is they said to the union bureaucrats of the UAW, we're going to allow a government loan, but you're not going to have a right to strike. And also the new workers are going to come in at half the wages of the older workers, and they're going to be doing the same work.
Right.
So today you have a 2- and 3-tier system in the auto industry. Workers are making $14 an hour. They can't even afford to buy a car. They have to live at home. And there's a struggle now against these companies, and the UAW leadership do not really want to fight these companies. And these companies already threatened they're going to close down jobs and move to Mexico. But the UAW supported Clinton, even though he was supporting NAFTA. The UAW organized no demonstrations against this TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership. When I was in Detroit at the CWA convention, the General Motors was having their world stockholders meeting in the same hotel where the headquarters of the CWA. We organized a protest there. The UAW bureaucrats boycotted it.
Mm.
So they don't want to mobilize any of their members. They don't want to mobilize the working class. And in the case of Detroit, where they're shutting off water, the union should be calling for general strikes.
Right.
I mean, how dare this capitalist government is spending billions in other countries around the world, and they don't have money for water for the people in this country? But this whole ideology that basically you have to beg this government to get things is a dead end.
Right.
You know, the only way the working people are going to defend themselves is to fight this government and for workers to shut the country down. When you have general strikes, that's how you'll end these wars. When workers shut the airports down and the country down, then they'll say, now let's negotiate. Let's talk about what we need. Then they'll have to bring the troops back. But that you're not going to hear that from Bernie Sanders, and you're not going to hear that from these Democrats or people who want to reform capitalism, because that's class war. But that's exactly what's going on in Greece. That's what's going on in Puerto Rico.
We'll talk a little bit about what's going on. I think people really know what's going on in Greece lately, but what's happening in Puerto Rico?
Well, Puerto Rico has been a colony of the United States since 1898.
Right.
And the United States invaded, went to war with Spain, and then seized Puerto Rico and seized the Philippines and killed thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of Philippines. The waterboard's torture was used in the Philippines. In fact, Mark Twain at that time had an organization called the Anti-Imperialist League.
Right.
Then in the 60s, the United States set up a program called Bootstrap, the Bootstrap program, which was basically a free trade economic zone in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And what they did is they allowed multinational companies to come there and not be taxed. And they said this was going to help the country. Basically, it's bled the country. These multinationals make billions, but they're not taxed by Puerto Rico. And they're non-union, these multinationals. And basically, the people in Puerto Rico have been forced to immigrate. There are now 5 million Puerto Ricans in the United States, and more Puerto Ricans in the United States than in Puerto Rico. And as a result of capitalist control of the economy and privatization of their economy, the country is now bankrupt. They borrowed money. Now, one of the things that workers should know about Puerto Rico and labor imperialism is that the SEIU, the U.S. unions are organizing in Puerto Rico. I mean, we haven't even organized all the workers in this country, but the U.S. unions use money to so-called organize in Puerto Rico. These U.S. unions, the SEIU, went to Puerto Rico. Andy Stern, he was at that time an assistant to John Sweeney, he went to Puerto Rico and he made a deal with the Democratic governor that if they privatized the health care system, excuse me, if they supported the privatization of the health care system, that they would be SEIU members, employed, you know, employed at these private hospitals. So Humana and these basically blood-sucking health care companies have taken over the health care system in Puerto Rico as a result of support of the SEIU and privatization in Puerto Rico. And the SEIU also leadership was involved in trying to privatize the education system. They raided the teachers' union and tried to support a supervisors' union and bring in charter schools in Puerto Rico. So this is an example of labor imperialism. This is an example of U.S. union leaderships colluding with capitalists in other countries and multinationals to destroy the working class.
Yes.
And that's what's going on in Puerto Rico. So the working class is being repressed. They want to privatize the power company. They've already privatized other things there. And there's a growing movement, which I think has to be supported by workers in this country against privatization, against the attack on the Puerto Rican working class. This austerity and class war in the Puerto Rican working class is the same war that's going on here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, these unions have not, U.S. unions who have members in Puerto Rico, SEIU, UAW, AFSCME, they have members in Puerto Rico. There's not a peep from them about the bankruptcy in Puerto Rico, yet they have members there. I mean, they're not saying cancel the debt. They're not saying that these hedge companies should be, you know, thrown out. They should lose their money. They're basically allowing Obama and the capitalists, the banks and the buyout artists to destroy the country.
Well, and of course, the passage of the Trans-Pacific Partnership would further undermine and harm workers.
And actually, that could have been stopped.
Right.
I mean, there are millions of people in this country who are against the TPP when they find out about it. The unions, the AFL-CIO, the SEIU, they called no mass mobilization against TPP. There could have been a rally in Washington of a million people against the TPP.
Yeah.
They could have said, if you vote for it, we're going to throw you out. We're going to have a Labor Party. They won't do that.
No,
uh-uh. So,
they are.
I mean, what are they? So it's like we play a game. In fact, at my union convention, let's send an email or text these politicians. That's power.
Mm-hmm.
It's a farce.
Right.
They're going to get power by texting a politician. I mean, Dianne Feinstein and these politicians, they throw the trash. They don't even pay attention. Their attitude is screw you.
Right.
They're arrogant and contemptible towards people, and these union leaders continue to support them with our money and our dues.
Right.
And that's why, you know, you were prevented from even debating Pelosi. Mike Casey and the leadership of the Labor Council did not want to debate. Oh, she's too busy raising money. So she shouldn't have a debate of the people in San Francisco about where she stands. This is their attitude. They kowtow and they bow down to these corporate-controlled politicians. That's what they do.
Well, see, it would have been a lose-lose for her, because if they sponsored a debate and she didn't show up, it would have looked bad. But if she showed up, I would have, like, wipe the streets of San Francisco with her.
Well, she wouldn't have showed up, I'm sure.
Right.
Even if they sponsored a debate, she wouldn't show up.
Right.
You know, she has contempt. And you know what they did? Last 2 years ago, they gave her an honor. They honored her at her breakfast, and they honored her at her lunch.
Wow.
So here they're honoring somebody who supported privatization and supported NAFTA, and they're giving her honors. They're saying she's a great leader of the Democratic Party. So if you have a union that's honoring somebody who's busting you, of course, it's not unique. I mean, the UAW at the convention they have in San Diego when Clinton was first running, he told them flat out, I'm going to be supporting NAFTA and you're going to take it. And they gave him a standing ovation. They clapped for him.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so if somebody says you're going to cut your throat and then you're going to clap for them and give them money, who are you representing?
Well, I really like the idea of a workers' party because, you know, we don't have to belong to an organized labor union. We're all workers. And so when we realize, oh, that we need this working class solidarity with each other, that we shouldn't compete with each other for meager resources, but we should have this class war to actually rightfully demand what is ours or what has been stolen from us or our parents or our grandparents. That's when we'll have, you know, a society that is healthy and sustainable for everybody, not just the 1% or the 0.1%. So the working class, we should work together and not work against each other.
I think the workers are told in this country somebody else is going to solve your problem.
Right.
And, you know, nobody is going to solve your problem. People have to stand up and get organized. It's like Walmart. The Walmart workers are trying to get organized, but the UFCW, which has been supporting it, signed an agreement that they're not going to organize a union at Walmart. In fact, the way you're going to organize Walmart, the Walmart workers should occupy the stores, and then you surround the stores with 20,000 people.
Right.
That's how you. That's how it was done in the 30s. And there's also there's a racist terror campaign going on, not only with shootings in South Carolina and around the country, but also hanging nooses being put up at job locations to terrorize black workers. There was one at the Recology company in San Francisco that was put up, and the union went along with it. As Teamsters Local 350, they didn't say anything. So there's going to be a demonstration on July the 27th at noon at Recology at 1501 Tunnel Avenue in San Francisco to protest these hanging nooses, which, I mean, there's an epidemic of hanging nooses being put up at work locations around the country. Again, there's no campaign by labor, but workers have to get organized and fight these attacks.
Well, Steve, we're actually out of time now, so I will put all this information in the newsletter, links to the petition for the fight against privatization of education in California. But where can people get more information, you know, about your work, about organizing a workers' party, or like this upcoming demo that you're organizing?
Okay, well, they can go, I mean, Facebook, United Public Workers for Action. United Public Workers for Action is one they can get information on. And there's this iPetition for repeal that's has some stuff on it. And also, I have, if they go to SoundCloud and Workweek Radio, they can listen to the radio programs that I do.
Okay. And we'll link all those, like I said, in the newsletter for this show. Okay, Steve. Well, Steve Zeltzer, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox and enlightening us about these issues. To me, I thought it was a very interesting and good interview.
Well, thank you, Cindy. Good luck.
Thank you.
Take care.
Well, that's the Soapbox for this week. As always, I hope you were informed and inspired. And as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like you to keep sending healing thoughts and energy to my production assistant and sister, Dee Dee Miller. I'd like to thank Steve Zeltzer for his work. And a workers' party sounds good to me, as long as we're working for all the workers, not just for a certain segment of workers, but working together towards peace, environmental sustainability, income equality, and the overthrow of this violent empire and police state. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Peace out for now.